Amen. Praise God. Man, I just praise God for the spirit that is moving in this place even right now. I hope that you are feeling it and living in it and worshiping God in the midst of whatever might be going on in your life today. How good is it to know that no matter how crazy our lives might get, we're never going through anything by ourselves. Amen. It's so good to know that even no matter how many times we've messed up our own lives, we're not going through this thing by ourselves. Like, God is here with us, and I'm just so thankful to know that even right now, He is here. Today, we continue on in a sermon series that we started last week called What Do I Believe? And the whole idea in this series of sermons here is for us to really begin to examine, like, what is it that we really do believe about different things? And so last week, we talked about what we really believe about the Bible, and we got into some serious Bible study for that. We're gonna do some more Bible study this week as well, but today we're going to talk about salvation. Many people have some very different ideas of what it means to be saved, right? And so what I want to do today is actually look into God's Word and see what is it that Jesus says about what it is to be saved, what it is to have salvation, what it is to experience salvation through relationship with Jesus Christ. And we're actually going to talk about what it's not and what it is and how we should respond to all those things. And maybe you've noticed here that the table that I almost built last week, it actually got finished this week. So last week, I used the table as an illustration for as we continue to read God's Word, we begin to build something in our lives, and we may not, it may not look like much all at one time, but eventually we get this structure that is able to hold something, right? Well, today we're actually going to use this structure as an illustration for what we believe about salvation as well, and so. I'm excited. I will let you know. I think that I did everything that I could to make sure that it's not going to fall over. I'm actually going to stand on this later, so when I do, please don't gasp. All right? That's on purpose. And I think it is secure enough that I will not fall off of it, and it will not crumble to pieces. Because if it does, my sermon illustration is totally shot. Totally shot. But if it does, realize that please do not account that to the illustration. Please account that to my poor craftsmanship. But either way, we'll trust that the Lord is going to speak today. In fact, let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you so much for your presence. We thank you, Lord, for your holy word. And we thank you for the opportunity that we have to hear from you and from your word even now. Help us, Lord, that we would help me, Father, that the words that come up from my mouth would be yours. God, that your message alone would be proclaimed in this place, and that you would just have your way. Help us all, including me, Lord, help us all to say yes to you in whatever it is you're speaking into our lives right now. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, it was really important that we focus on God's Word first, because if we aren't on the same page in terms of what we believe about God's Word, what we believe about the Bible, then none of the rest of this is really going to matter at all. Like, if we see that, if you understand that the Bible is just kind of a nice history book, then the rest of what I have to say is probably not going to mean that much to you over these next few weeks. But if we understand that the Bible is actually like the foundation of our lives, well, then that's something that we can build on. That's something that we can go on from there. And so that's why last week we started with, asking the question, what is it that we believe about the Bible? Today we're going to look into what we believe about salvation. And where I want to start is why we even need salvation in the beginning, right? Why in the world why couldn't it be that God just created us and just had eternity in mind from the very beginning? Like why do we even need saved, right? So let me kind of walk through some different verses here, and you'll have all of these up on the screen for you as well. I know last week I went through a lot of verses, and some of you were able to kind of write those down and everything. Again, if you're not able to get all of them, you can always go back and watch the video again too. That's the blessing of being able to do this online as well. And so if there's something you missed, don't worry too much about it. Just stick with me here. We'll keep moving through this. So in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it says, "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, which is Adam, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sinned." Now, next week, we're actually going to talk about what do I believe about sin, all right? And so I don't want to preach that sermon today, because I got enough to say about that. But one of the things that we see here in Romans chapter 5 is that, first of all, sin entered the world through Adam, through Adam and Eve and the original sin there, and that original sin, if you will, has had consequences that have been passed down to all of us, right? And so even in our birth, and let me just tell you, there are all kinds of verses that speak into this as well. I have cut out so many just so I could kind of get through this sermon and not keep you here for 3 hours today. But even in our birth, we are born into what is understood as a sin nature, all right? That means that, like, and for those of you who have children, you know, like, you don't have to teach anybody to sin, right? Like, we know how to do that coming out of the womb, right? And so we have this sin nature that we are born into. But then in Romans 3:23, we also know that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And that even is referred to in Romans 5:12 as well. Not only do we have this sin nature, but we have also all made choices called sin that is not in line with God's word and not in line with God's will for our lives. Again, next week we'll talk more about what sin is and how to deal with that and those kinds of things. But we need to recognize that part of the reason why we need to be saved is because of sin in our lives. In Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it goes on to say that the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. All right, so finally we get to a verse that actually talks a little bit about what salvation looks like there. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here's how I want you to begin to think about what salvation is. And in just a moment, we're actually going to talk about what it's not. But let me try to in terms of illustrating this, let me show you what this is. So as I might step up on this, and again, please don't be alarmed. When I'm standing on the Word of God, okay, because again, this is what we've been building for ourselves. Now, when I'm standing on the Word of God and I'm standing in a relationship with Jesus Christ as I understand it through God's Word, then I am able to live in life. But when I step down off of that, then I find myself in death. See, in Romans 6:23, it says the wages of sin is death. The choices that we've made have earned us the wages of death. And so, really, the perfect way of illustrating this is not only to have something to step up to, but it would be even better if you just imagine that this entire platform is one large coffin. Now, what's interesting about this is I can be walking around in my coffin and still be dead. It is not unless I'm actually standing on God's word, unless I am standing in that relationship with Jesus Christ, which we'll get to here in just a moment. It's not unless I receive that free gift of God that I am here. It's only when I am here in Jesus and the free gift that God has given me that I am actually experiencing life. When I am here, I am dead, no matter how alive I might look. Sometimes we try to think of salvation as, well, I don't want to get ahead of myself here. So again, the idea is when I am in God's word and I am in Christ and I am in that free gift that he has given me, then I have life. And when I am not, I only have death. So salvation, in short, is really life. What we are being saved from is death. What we are being saved from are the consequences that we have earned from our sins. And in that, not only do we get forgiven of those things, but we also get to live real life in Jesus Christ. Let me run through just real quick what salvation is not. And I think the illustration here might actually help to show us why these things are not the case. So first of all, salvation is not being good enough. Salvation is not having a good heart. Salvation is not doing philanthropy, right? It's not just doing great things in our society and in our world. Like salvation is not just being good enough. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, it says, "He has saved us and called us to a holy life," which, by the way, we are going to talk about holiness and sanctification 2 weeks from now. So I'd love for you to be here to experience and to really think through, like, what do you really believe about holiness and sanctification as well. But anyway, not because of anything that we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. See, you can do good things and still be dead. Come on, somebody. I hope you see this today. See, I can be in my coffin, walking around, talking to people and everything, and I can be generous with the things that I have. I can say nice things to other people. Like, I can encourage you. But if I'm still in my coffin, I am dead. If I am not in that relationship with Christ, if I'm not living a life based on God's word, if I'm not living in the free gift of eternity that God has for me, then I'm still dead. No matter how good I might think I am, my goodness doesn't allow me to take this step. Ooh, I hope you heard that today. My goodness doesn't allow me to take that step. See, because I will never be good enough to be able to take that step on my own. See, I have to have God pulling me up so that I can live right here. If I don't have God, I don't have life. And so no matter how good I am, I'm still going to be dead if I don't have Jesus. Good things don't resolve the consequences of my sin. Right? There are some religions that the idea is that if you could just have more good deeds than you do bad deeds, well, then you'll get in. There's a couple of problems with that, though, and one is that, I don't know about you, but it's really hard for me to keep track of them all, right? And so I'd sure hate to be one short, and then I don't get to go to heaven because there was one good deed I didn't do or one bad deed I did too many of. Like, that would be a kick in the pants, wouldn't it? My good things don't resolve the consequences of my sin because my sin is so bad that no matter how good I could be, it could never overcome. Which actually is what makes the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of my sins so amazing. That's what makes it so awesome, is because I can't make this stuff on my own no matter what. Like, if I try to be good every single day of my life, I can't do this by myself. But because of Jesus Christ, he gives me that free gift that I can live in him. I'm never going to be good enough on my own, though. The only way I really live true life is in a relationship with Christ. Also, salvation is not love for everybody. Okay? Now, let me clarify what you didn't hear your pastor just say. All right? Your pastor didn't just say, don't love everybody. That's not what I said. But what I am saying is that there are some who are under the impression that if I just love everybody, well, then I'll be good with God. Almost sort of a good deed sort of thing. That if I love everybody, no matter what their choices might happen to be, no matter what kind of things they're getting into, if I just love them enough to sort of accept them and all that they do, if I'm just that loving person, I'm gonna just love. Well, then I'll be good with God. And while there is. Again, let me be clear, there's some benefit to loving others. Loving others is not what saves you. Again, loving others doesn't actually resolve the consequences of our sin. In fact, in 1 John 4:9, it says, "This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him." The desire of our love is for us and for others to feel better and to feel good. The desire of our love is for us and others around us to feel better and to feel good. But the desire of God's love is to save our lives from the effects of our sin. Like, here's what I want you to see, because this is what we do sometimes. Sometimes we'll be in our coffin and we'll see what it might look like to live a life in Jesus Christ, but then we'll have other people in the coffin with us and we'll think to ourselves, well, as long as I've got other people with me, then I must be doing okay. But the problem is that everybody's still in the coffin. What we have to do is actually live that life in Christ so that we can go down and extend a hand to help others up as well. To say, hey, like, Jesus made a difference in my life and he can make a difference in your life too. Like we need to stand here so that we can help them come up as well. If we're all just dead down here, then who is moving to life? But sometimes I wonder if we're not under the impression that if we just love everybody, dead and all, well, then we'll just be good. That's just not what the Bible says, though. Let me keep moving here. Worship attendance, and just being either in this place of worship or even watching online, like, worship attendance is not salvation. And this is something that God has been talking to his people about for some time now. In Hosea chapter 6, verse 6, it says, "For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, an acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings." See, if we aren't careful, we might actually end up worshiping the idea of God rather than worshiping God himself. I hope you heard that today. Because if we don't actually experience new life in Christ, what we find ourselves doing is just worshiping the idea of God and not actually God himself. See, being in a place of worship is beneficial and is wonderful, and again, I want to encourage you to do that. However, just being here does not make you saved. You can still be in your coffin and worship God. You really can. You really can. Salvation is also not this academic acknowledgement of God, or knowing things about God and knowing things about Jesus. James chapter 1, verse 22 says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says," right? It is amazing to me that some of the leading biblical scholars of our day are actually atheist and agnostic. Did you realize that? Like, seriously. Some of the most, and I'm talking like academically, folks, like theological thinkers. There are so many that are atheists and agnostic that do not have a faith in God, but are so well versed in knowing about God, but don't actually have that relationship with him. Isn't that frightening? See, we can be in our coffin and be able to describe what the Word of God is about, and we can even describe what it is to stand on the table. We can describe what it might look like from up there. We can describe the experience of stepping up and making the transition from death to life. Like, we can talk about all those things and not actually do those things. Which is also pretty frightening, right? Finally, then, we can also be baptized and not be saved. Mark chapter 16 and verse 16 says, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." Our faith, everything rests on our faith in Jesus. Everything. And let me be clear. I think it is really important, and in fact, I would even go so far as to say biblical command, that we are baptized when we are saved by God through a relationship with Jesus Christ. I think that baptism is incredibly, incredibly important. I think it's important to be able to give that testimony of what God has done in your life and what he's doing and how you are committing yourself to him. I think that is unbelievably important. However, I do think it's also possible that you could go and get yourself dunked into a pool of water and not actually have your heart with Jesus. And so the reason why that's really important is because there are some people who maybe were baptized as kids, and maybe they didn't even maybe you didn't even realize what it was that you were doing, right? Like maybe your faith wasn't even there yet. You were just doing it because your parents told you to get baptized or something along those lines. Like what I want you to recognize is that it is not just a matter of this one moment in time, like, oh, well, once I go under the water, well, that's all that matters. No, it actually matters how you live with Jesus. It actually matters, like, how you walk by faith. Like, that one moment in time is a great testimony. And I hope that all of you have the opportunity to give that testimony of baptism and of how God has radically changed your life through relationship with Jesus. But just because you've gone under the water doesn't mean that that's all there is to your relationship with Jesus. Putting water in the coffin doesn't put me on the table. It just makes me dead and wet, right? Right. We just got to recognize that these are things that salvation is not, right? So what I'd like to look at then is, okay, what did Jesus actually say about salvation? Well, from very early on, as he began his ministry, and we see this in Matthew chapter 3, verse 2, he talks about the importance of repentance, right? As he comes, the very first message that he is proclaiming is, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. A big part of salvation and of being saved is recognizing that where we are going on our own, in our own sinful choices, in our own sinful nature, is in opposition to where God would have us to go. And what we have to do is we have to repent, we have to turn from that, and we have to change our mind. Now, here's where I really want you to see this, is really what we are doing is we are turning from death to life. We are turning from the coffin to the resurrection. We are turning from being face down in our death to being face up in the glory of God through relationship with Jesus. The reason I come back to the illustration here for this is because sometimes I think we think of repentance of well, if I just say that I'm sorry, well then everything is good. And don't get me wrong, like it is important for us to even have the habit of repentance, that if we find ourselves falling to a particular sin or particular temptation, then it is important for us to continue to seek that repentance and to say, Lord, please set my heart right. Lord, please make me new once again. But what we have to recognize is that those things actually matter, and we're going to talk more about that next week, and so I don't want to preach that sermon now, but the whole point is that we are dead in our sins, and we need to be made alive, and repentance is our turning from death so that we can live life in Christ. Amen. It is not just let me just make this very clear. Repentance is not just moving to a better version of you. I've said this before, and I hope you hear me say it 100 more times. God is not interested in you 2.0. He doesn't need the updated version of you. He doesn't need the more techie kind of look. He doesn't need the better graphics. No, God needs the old you to die and the new you to live. Like, that is what he desires for your life. And it's not just about being better. It's not just about being good. It's about putting to death what is old and living in that relationship with Jesus Christ. Which can only be found as we are set rock steady in what the Word of God is telling us about who Jesus is and how we can do that. Jesus also talks in John chapter 3, in verse 3, he talks about how he's having this conversation with one of the Pharisees, with Nicodemus, and he actually tells him, he says, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again, right? Nicodemus gets all thrown off by this. Like, what are you talking about, born again? Like, how am I supposed to go in my mother's womb and everything? And I'm like, Nicodemus, don't go that far. Like, seriously, it's an illustration, brother. Come on. But the whole idea is that we have to be born of the Spirit of God. We were born physically. We were born into a sin nature. We were born into a coffin. And in order for us to live real life, we've got to put that to death so that we can be born again, so that we can be made new, so that we can be set free, so that we can live the life, the abundant life that Jesus Christ lived, died, and resurrected that we could have, right? Until we get there, until we are born again, we're still just walking around in our coffin. And even goes on there in John 3 and 16, right? Most of us know this so well. Like, God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but would have eternal life. Again, recognize that for those that would not believe in him is death. But for those who do believe in him is life, and life eternal, right? And I want you to know that, like, eternal life doesn't start with heaven. Come on, somebody. Like, we are living in the midst of eternity right now. I hope you understand that, right? Like, eternity doesn't start after we die. Eternity, we're a part of eternity right now. Like, eternity's already been, and we're in the middle of it, and it's going to go on and be. So if we're going to live eternally with Christ, we might as well live that life right now. I don't want to wait until after. I want to live in every benefit and blessing of God right now, because I get to experience his eternity now. I don't have to wait for that. In Ephesians chapter 2, how am I doing on that? Okay. I'm sorry. Let me just tell you, there is so much more I could be saying about this, and I'm just trying to watch that clock, because I really don't want to keep you here all day long, but there's some really important things that we need to catch about this, right? Let me just run through these real quick. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast, right? It matters what we believe. It matters where we put our faith. It matters what we believe about Jesus. It matters what we believe about salvation. Because if we don't believe in line with God's word, we may inadvertently be walking around dead and be really close to a relationship with Jesus, but not actually in a relationship with Jesus. We might be really close to understanding the things of God, but not actually understanding the things of God. We might be really close to being reconciled with God, but not actually reconciled with God. It matters what we believe in, the faith that we have and the faith that we walk by. It matters, which is why it is so important for us to be talking about this. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 says, because if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It don't get much clearer than that right there, church. For with your heart one believes, or with the heart one believes, and is justified. And with the mouth, one confesses and is saved. See, the way that we talk is important. But the way that we work out our faith, the way that we walk out our faith, the way that we live our faith, is actually what shows the salvation that we have. The way that we believe matters. And it changes our life for eternity, beginning right now. Let me keep going here. One other thing that Jesus had mentioned, particularly in regards to salvation, comes out of John 14:6. It says, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, it says, there is salvation in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And here's what I want you to understand here. There's no other way up here than through Jesus. I need you to hear that today. That there is no other way from death to life except through Jesus. Like, just because I have a lot of other coffin options around me doesn't mean that those options get me to life. That just means I got a lot more options for death. That's all that means, right? And so sometimes there are people that will come in contact with that will just believe that, well, any religion will get me there. Like, no matter how I believe, like, it'll eventually just end up with God. It'll eventually end up with eternity with Him. And I'm just letting you know that it's just not what the Bible says. And so if you are trusting in God's word, as we talked about last week, then we have to understand, like, Jesus is the only way. And there's nothing else we can do about that. That's just what God said. Don't argue with me about that. Argue with Him about that. Now, if you believe all kinds of different scriptures, well, now that's another conversation we'll have to have on another day. But if God's word is what we're standing on, then Jesus is the only way from death to life. That's all there is to it. That's all there is to it. He is the only way that we get to move from death to life. Our goodness won't get there. Our works won't get there. Our philanthropy won't get there. Our love won't get us there. None of that will get us there. Only Jesus can get us from death to life, because only He's the one who's conquered the grave. He's the only one who has actually experienced death and came back from death and said, "I'm back," right? And so if we want to be able to experience that eternal life in Jesus Christ, then we have to actually connect with the one who's actually overcome it all. He's the only one who has.
Praise His name. Amen.
So if we want that new life, if we want to be born again, if we want to live in the salvation that can only be provided to us, or that is spelled out for us in God's word, we have to go through Jesus. We can't get it through ourselves. We can't get it through our granny. We can't get it through our mama. We can't get it through pastor. We can't get it by sitting here. No, we can only get it through that relationship with Jesus, by actually putting our faith in Him and actually living out faith in Him. Not just an acknowledgement of who He is, but allowing our actions to follow in that as well. And then once we do that, like once we receive that relationship, once we experience, once we finally say, you know what, Jesus Christ, You are my Savior, and I put my faith in You. Well, then once we make that step, well, now we can start doing some good deeds, right? Because now we got a reason for some good deeds. Because I just went from death to life, and now I'm brand new again. I ought to be doing something new, because God's done something new in me. Like, I ought to be excited and praising God. I ought to be loving You, because God has loved me through Jesus Christ. Like, I ought to be giving stuff away, because Jesus gave His everything for me, right? Like, I ought to be getting baptized, and I ought to be worshiping Him, and I ought to be doing all those things, but not in order to get there, but because I'm already here. I don't do it to earn it. I do it as a way to say thank You. Thank You, Lord. Lord, I'm going to love these people who drive me crazy, because I drove You crazy and You loved me. Lord, I'm going to give everything I have, because even when I was all kind of mess, Jesus gave everything He had for me. Lord, I'm going to worship You, because as bad as I was, You still love me anyway. Lord, I'm going to get baptized so I can testify what You've done in my life, because if You can do it in me, oh, Lord, I know You can do it in some of these other people out here. See, all these things are not bad to do. They just don't give us life. They are a response to the life that we've been given. See that? You see that? We don't sit in our coffin and just try to work our way up here. But rather, once we experience that life in Christ, well, now we've got a reason to do all those things for others. And in that, we are calling back to those that are in that life, saying, you can live here too. Amen. You're never going to be enough on your own, but Jesus is all that you need. We can be in that place where we aren't just condemning people for being dead, but we're sharing with them how to find life.
Amen.
Right? We can be those disciples that are trying to disciple others, to show them that there is life. And they may not know what it is right now. They may think that death is all there is, but you can be the one that's actually making disciples as well, helping them to see that there is abundant life that they can have for themselves. I want to invite the worship team to come on back up. And as they come, I just want to ask you a simple question today. And that is, are you ready to step up? Are you ready to step up? What is it that you believe about salvation? What is it that you believe about your own salvation? Have you experienced this transition from death to life? Like, I'm not just talking about, do you know more about the Bible than you did last year? I'm talking about, has the Bible changed your life? I'm not just talking about, are you showing up at a worship service more than you were last year? I'm asking, like, are you worshiping God because of what Jesus has done inside of your heart and because of all that he has forgiven you of and the abundant life that he's given you? Like, are you ready to step up today? Are you ready to make that transition from death to life, from lost to found? See, this is why we exist as a church. In order that we might be able to help others see and that we ourselves might be able to make that transition from death to life. That is why we exist. I want to invite you to stand with me as we sing. This morning, if you would like to make that step, I want to pray with you about that. And so what we're going to do is when I get done, I'm going to pray here in just a moment, and the band is going to sing a song, and I'm going to step outside here. And as I'm out there, if you want to make that step up, that step from death to life, and you say, you know what, I've been living in all this stuff that salvation ain't, and I want to start living in what salvation is. If today's the day you want to make that step, I want to encourage you just to meet me outside in the lobby, and I just want to pray with you, right? And even for those of you online, if you want to make that step today, I want to encourage you to reach out to somebody. Or in fact, you can even just email me at pastortim@hfcog.org. And I would love to pray with you and to follow up with you and help get you connected to somebody that can help disciple you in what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ and what it means to live this life with him. I hope today's the day that you make that step up. And I hope today's the day that you feel encouraged to share this step with others as well, that we might all walk in his glory, in his salvation. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you so much. Help us, Lord, that we would just simply say yes to you right now. Lord, I pray that you would overcome every obstacle that might be going through our minds. And Lord, I pray that you would just help us to submit to you so that you can change our lives. Lord, move us, Father, from death to life for your glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.